last few times that I've preached, we've been in Isaiah 40, and we will be finishing my three little sermons on Isaiah 40 this week. We'll be looking at verses 27 to 31 of the passage. Before that, let us have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we read in Isaiah, the grass withers, the flower fades, the word of our God stands forever. Because of those words, we come before you, seeking to hear your word read and preached. Father, we depend upon you to open our ears, to soften our hearts, to hear it. Please, Lord, do this. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Isaiah 40, verses 27 to 31. This is the word of the Lord. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. As we've been going through this chapter in Isaiah, we've been focusing on this theme of comfort. This passage, this chapter starts with God saying, comfort, comfort my people. And so in verses 1 through 11, we saw that God was willing to comfort his people, that he was going to come as their Savior. And then in verses 12 through 26, we saw that not only is God willing to save his people, but he is also able to save his people. God is powerful. We saw over the quintillions of gallons of water. He is powerful over all the stars in the sky, and he has names for all of them and arranges them. And he is also powerful over the most powerful men and women on earth. They are, it says, grasshoppers before him. And we also saw that not only is God willing and able to bring comfort to his people, but he has promised to do so. And if this was a logical argument, Isaiah wouldn't necessarily need to write verses 27 through 31. He's made the argument God is willing to save and comfort his people. God is able to save and comfort his people. And he has promised to save and comfort his people. And so, if he's willing, if he's able, and if he's promised, well then, he will. But this is not just a logical argument that Isaiah is laying out. Isaiah, he's dealing with people. And they're people who are going through crises and who are struggling with pain. They're struggling to believe these things about God that Isaiah has been saying. And so, Isaiah repeats himself. He goes over some of the stuff he's already been saying, and it's because the people still have problems with what's going on in their life, and they have problems with God. And that is our first point tonight, is problems that we have with God. There are two problems that Isaiah's audience still has with God. We read of them in verse 27. He asks, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, Number one, why do you say, my way is hidden from the Lord? And then number two, they say, my right is disregarded by my God. And these problems that they have go right back to the outline of this chapter. They go right back to these questions of, is God willing to care for us and save us? And is God able to? My way is hidden from the Lord. This first problem is saying, God doesn't seem to know what's going on in our lives. He's not actually, it seems, powerful. He's not all-seeing. He doesn't know what's going on. God's not able to take care of us. And the second problem, my right is disregarded by my God. God doesn't seem to care about what's going on. God doesn't seem to care about justice. He's like a judge who is ignoring this case of the people of Israel. Summed up in these two problems that these people are struggling with are some of the most poignant and difficult problems we can have with God. These questions that we ask, God, do you see? God, do you care? And these were problems that the people in Isaiah's day, his own audience, were dealing with. They had just dealt with the destruction of the Assyrian army invading, and the Assyrian army was miraculously destroyed by God, but still they had a destroyed land. And Isaiah is prophesying also for the people who will be in exile in Babylon, and they're deported. They've been taken out of their land, and their land has been destroyed, and they're dealing with unjust practices. They're treated poorly in this land. And then there are people today. What is going on in 2020? We have COVID, we have race riots, we have economic downturn, and we're not even talking about the upcoming election yet. God, what is going on? Are you sure you're in control? Do you really care what's happening to us? These aren't questions that are just being asked by any people. These aren't questions being asked by skeptics who don't even believe that God's really there. This is Jacob. This is Israel. This is God's people who are asking these questions. These are believers whose faith is frail, who struggle with unbelief. And it doesn't matter that Isaiah has just addressed these issues. These people are still struggling with this pain. And just like Israel back then, we struggle with these problems as well. In the midst of our crises in our lives, we are tempted to have these misgivings about God. Maybe you've been let go from your job. Maybe a loved one has cancer. Maybe your children are wayward, or maybe it's just difficult to parent. Maybe one of several of your significant relationships are just really hard right now. And you just lie awake at night saying, God, what is going on? God, why are you doing this? Do you see my problems? Do you see the pain I'm in? You know, this passage points us to how weak our faith really is, how easily we can falter when our vision is obscured, when we are confronted with pain and difficult circumstances. It's so hard to see the simple truths that Isaiah has been describing over and over in this chapter. These truths that God has promised to comfort us, He is willing to comfort us, He is able to comfort us. So in light of these problems, what does Isaiah do? Well, he does what he's already done. He points us back to God. See how patient God is with people in the midst of their pain. He just keeps pointing us back to himself, to God. And that is our second point, that God, he comforts us with himself, which, if you listen to my first sermon on Isaiah 40, was one of my main points. But I make it again because Isaiah makes it again. Verse 28, Isaiah repeats himself. This will sound like my second sermon, because in verse 21, Isaiah has said, "Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning?" He starts asking Israel, "Don't you remember that these things are true?" But in verse 28, their pain, their problems are still there, and so he says again, "Have you not known? Have you not heard?" And like we said then, so often these truths about God being creator, God being savior, we've heard them before. It's not that we don't know them. It's not that we don't remember the ABCs of our faith. But they get old to us, unfortunately. And so even though we say every Sunday we believe in one God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, we still struggle to truly believe those things. And we might wonder, how is that? How is that truth about God, the Creator, supposed to comfort us? Well, brothers and sisters, if the character and power of the one true God cannot comfort you, there is nothing else that will. And so we have again a short rehearsal of some of these truths about God. In verse 28, we're told several things about God. First, we're told he's the Lord. And that word, Lord, in all caps in the Old Testament, it's actually referring to the Hebrew name of God. We don't necessarily know what it sounds like today, but to Isaiah's audience, when they heard this, when they would read this, they would remember, our God is not just any God, he is the Lord, he is our God, he is the God who's revealed himself to us, who revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush, who gave his name to Moses and said, I'm going to save Israel. So he is the Lord, he is a personal, loving, saving God. And he is also the everlasting God. He always was before even this thing that we call time began, and he always will be. God is everlasting. And he is creator. He created everything. The ends of the earth. Goes back to verse 12, what we saw. God holds all the waters in one hand. He holds the heavens between his fingers, the span. He fits all the dust in his small storage container, and he puts all the mountains on a pair of scales. He is the creator. And his understanding is beyond searching. Again, verse 13, we saw last time. Who can measure the Spirit of the Lord? Who can give him counsel? Who is wiser than God? No one is. These things that Isaiah has said again and again, he repeats, because we need to hear it again. But there's also a new element here that hasn't been brought out as much. He says, God does not faint or grow weary. God doesn't get tired like we do. It's a huge way God isn't like us. Can you imagine a being that's so boundless in energy? He doesn't get tired. He doesn't need to sleep. He doesn't even need caffeine. This week, I had one night where I was kept up. I don't know why, but I couldn't sleep for a few hours. And, you know, I got out of bed and I read some John Calvin, and believe it or not, after that I was able to fall asleep. And the next day I was kind of tired. And that was just one night, that was just a few sleepless hours. I was tired. God doesn't get tired. He doesn't need to sleep. He doesn't faint. He doesn't grow weary. And the rest of our passage, if you'll notice, that's what Isaiah focuses on. Verse 28, God does not faint or grow weary. Verse 29, he gives power to the faint. Verse 30, youths shall faint and be weary. Verse 31, they who wait on the Lord shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. To comfort us, Isaiah points us to God's strength. What Isaiah realizes is that behind our despair, our pain, our struggles to believe, is the reality that in ourselves we are weak people. Despite our beliefs to the contrary, that we are strong, we're weak. We have frail faith. And even though these truths are so basic, it can be so hard for us to really believe them and to draw comfort from the fact that we serve an incredible God. So he comforts us with his strength. Actually, our English word, comfort, that comes from two Latin words, cum, with. Cum is with, and fortis is strong. To comfort someone is to come with strength to them, is to strengthen them. And so to comfort us, God comes with strength. And he doesn't just come with his own strength, but he comes and he gives us his strength. God is boundless in energy. He has perfect life in himself. He is complete, perfectly complete. There is nothing lacking in God. He has endless life, endless strength in himself. And even when God becomes man, it says that when Jesus Christ became man, in him was life. And he says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it abundantly. God the Son has life, vitality, strength in him. And God the Holy Spirit, Paul says to Timothy, we have been given a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. There is power in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the astounding thing is that this boundless God, this God who does not weary, who does not faint, he shares himself with us. It says he does not weary, he does not faint. And then, what does it say? It says those who wait on the Lord, they shall not be faint. They shall not weary. The same thing that is true about God is true for those who put their faith in God. Our triune God, perfect in power, love, and purity, gives himself to us. This is the gift of God. I was teaching youth group this week, and I was teaching about communion, and we talked about some of this, that in communion, when we take the bread and the wine, God is feeding us with himself. We take and eat the body of Christ. We drink his blood. We partake in the life of God through our union, through our being one with Jesus Christ. And in communion, we recognize that we are those fainting ones who need power. We are the ones without might who need strength. And through the bond of faith in Jesus Christ, God gives us that strength. He gives us that life. feed on him daily as our bread of life. God gives himself to us. How amazing that we should have his unfainting power in us. This is the gift that God gives to those who trust him. That he gives his strength so that in the midst of the worst circumstances, we can still love God, love others. We can believe his promises and we can turn to him when we need bursts of strength. We can run. When we need to persevere, we can walk. Because God shares himself with us. And he doesn't do this the way the world might imagine. He doesn't give strength to the strong. He doesn't give those who are, in the world's eyes, the best. See, it says that youths, those who are high energy types, they faint and be weary. Then it says, young men shall fall exhausted. And that word for young men, it actually comes from this verb that means to choose. It's like saying those choice ones, those select ones. It's like saying the best of the best of the best. Those are the ones who fall exhausted. God doesn't choose the choice men. God doesn't elect the select few. No, he has chosen to strengthen those who wait upon him. He strengthens those who wait patiently, yet eagerly, for God. Those who hope, who trust in God and trust in none other. He strengthens them that they might hold on, that they might renew their strength. And then he gives this wonderful picture. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. My family has a lot of avid bird watchers in it. And over this pandemic, my parents and my brother have gotten to go birding a lot because you go to an open space and no one's around, so it's a perfectly safe thing to do. So I've gotten plenty of pictures of birds, beautiful birds, birds I didn't even know existed. And you see these birds soaring. It's so effortless. They look like they can just hang up in the sky for days, and actually, God has made some birds that can soar for days. And that's the picture here. Flying with strength that is not our own, soaring by the grace of God. And just like the picture of stars in verse 26 points us back to the promise God made to Abraham, this picture of soaring, it points us back to God saving Israel. Back in Exodus 19, he says to Moses and all of Israel, he says, "You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." This is a reminder of who God is. God, with his power, carries us on eagle's wings. He saves us. He gives comfort. God promises strength to his people to soar. Not to soar above all the pain in this world. Not to soar to pleasures and nice vacations and fun times. He doesn't promise us to soar above. He promised us that we can soar through the pain. He gives us grace enough to fly. The trials won't go away, but neither does this promise. God gives himself to us. Take and believe this promise. Take and believe this comfort. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.